Father, we come before you and we thank you for this time you've given us as we reference chapter 49 of Patrick's teaching, his lesson. And Lord, as I give some spiritual insight that was given to me by you, Father, and in reference to this chapter 49. And so I pray you go before us, bless this time, speak to us mightily through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm getting the text out of Matthew 27, verse 62 to 28, verse 15. I titled the message, The Attempt to Derail a Mission. The Attempt to Derail a Mission. As we look back at history, we've seen where people have tried to derail the Lord's mission and thwart his resurrection. I can see this derailing still being attempted today by people who are confronted by the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. What they don't want to know or don't care to know is a resurrection isn't a religious view. It's a fact of history. Scripture records Jesus raised three people from the dead during his three and a half years of ministry. A widow's son, Luke 7, Jairus' daughter, Luke 8, and Lazarus in John 11. We know and believe this. So the question is, why should it be hard to believe Jesus could be raised himself? I mean, he talked about it continually in the Gospels. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he spoke of the third day 12 times. He used the term 3 days 10 times. As he spoke of his death and resurrection, he challenged the chief priests and the Pharisees on their attempts to fight him at his arrest. Matthew 26, verse 55. I mean, they weren't ignorant. They knew where Jesus hung out. They knew he was going in and out of the city. They weren't afraid of his disciples because, I mean, they all split on Jesus. They knew Jesus wasn't one to start a physical fight. So Jesus couldn't have been clearer about his mission. He didn't come to set up an earthly empire that would overthrow the Roman Empire. He spoke of a spiritual kingdom where he would rule and reign in the hearts of those who would receive him. 1 John 5, verses 11 and 13. Jesus died. He rose from the dead. And he did it for all of us because he loves us and wants us to have a relationship with him that will last all eternity. There is life after death. Everybody is going to live after they die, regardless of what they believe, either eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. Don't fall into the category of the foolish people of that day. That resurrection power is not just for the future. It's for right now, right now. So I want to look at 3 points regarding the truth of the resurrection. The first point, remember the truth that has been declared. Verse 62, on the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember, while he was still alive, how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise.'" Notice the opposition. You have the religious leaders, the government, Satan, and the Jewish people all against him. God offers heaven. Man takes earth and chooses hell. God offers freedom. Man takes bondage and becomes a slave to sin. Galatians 4:9. Believe it or not, it was non-believers who remembered and believed what Jesus said. I mean, that says a lot about the resurrection because his own disciples didn't expect it or believe it. Verse 64, "Therefore command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead.'" So the last deception will be worse than the first. Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go your way and make it as secure as you know how." No matter what the enemy throws at God and his people, no matter what it is, you could take it to the bank. It's going to eventually backfire on them. They killed Stephen, and the gospel spread. They put Paul the apostle in prison, and he wrote the prison epistles. Joseph was thrown in prison. From there, he went to the palace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were cast into the fiery furnace. Guess who was with them in that flame? Jesus was there in the fire with them. Verse 66 says, so they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. Now you got to remember, these were seasoned Roman guards. They were the best of the best, the top of the top. Notice they're going to try to keep Jesus from coming out of the grave. The seal on the stone was a cord from the large stone to the entrance of the cave, and they covered it with wax or clay with the Roman seal stamped in it. If that was broken, someone tampered with it. The second point, reveal the truth of what has taken place. Matthew 28, verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. This is why we worship on the first day of the week, on Sunday. It's based on the fact of the resurrection 2,000 years ago. The women came to the grave because they didn't finish embalming Jesus. They came to serve, which shows their dedication and love for him. So many Christians read God's word, but there's no service. The other side of that is service, but no maturity in the word. So what happens is people get involved, they get exhausted, which leads to quitting, and for the most part, they leave the work, and many times I've seen them leave the church. Verse 2, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became dead men, like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. John Stott said, Christianity is in its very essence a resurrection religion. The concept of resurrection lies at its heart. If you remove it, Christianity is destroyed. Verse 7, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he's going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and they ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. And Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. What I love about this, he calls them brethren. Even though they fell away, even though they deserted him and even denied him, it shows us no matter what we have done, Christ wants to comfort us. He wants to meet us. He wants to give us a new direction. It made me think of these checkpoints. The third point, we can't be those who hide the truth. Verse 11. Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. It reveals to me there are different effects the gospel has on people. Some will open their hearts, others will harden their hearts. Some will turn towards him. Others will turn away and do their own thing. Jeremiah 4:22. It's amazing. The two times I've been in Israel, even the Jews, many of them, I'd talk to them about the Lord, and they'd say, well, his disciples came at night and stole him away while everybody was sleeping. 2,000 years later, they use the same thing. Verse 14, and if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure. So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. So there's no other explanation for this kind of behavior. They wanted Jesus to stay in the tomb. They didn't want him in their lives. It leaves everyone with a decision. Do we want the truth or do we want the lie? Is a resurrection fact or is it fiction? It's something we have to decide. We have to make the decision. The name Gehenna was taken from Gehenen, the Valley of Hinnom, which was a garbage dump outside Jerusalem. This is where those who refuse to become whom they were designed to be will finally endure the opposite of love. It's called hell. God wants us to accept his forgiveness and mercy. He's gone to infinite lengths to make provision for us in the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ. As he does today, God has everything in control. Nothing will go wrong. Nothing can go wrong as long as we trust him to do the work that he's promised to do in us and through us for his glory. Father, thank you for your word, and I thank you for this time. I thank you for this study that you laid on my heart, the spiritual insight you've given me to derail a mission. It's just like us in everything we do in this life. Satan tries to derail the mission that we are on. And God, you're the one that is going to throw the wrench in it to stop him from trying to derail us if we just stay faithful and obedient to you. Father, thank you again. Go before us now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.